And I'll be reading verses 43 through 45. And now, Reverend Scott, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 43. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but doesn't find any. Then it says, I'll go back to my house that I came from. Returning, it finds the house vacant, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, that person's last condition is worse than the first. That's how it will also be with this evil generation. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses in chapter 12, and we started in verse 38. It says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Now, they had just got through seeing a miraculous curing of a man with inability to speak or hear, and Jesus had cast out the demon of him. Previously, they'd seen in the synagogue a man with a shriveled hand that had been cured and made whole. And they say, well, let's see a sign. Well, they weren't asking for a miraculous sign like Jesus was giving them of healing, of demon exorcism. They were asking for a sign like have a new star appear. Have the sun change direction. Something like that, a sign in the sky. Satan, when he was tempting Jesus, took him to the top of the temple and said, throw yourself off, because Scripture has said that you won't get hurt. The angels will come and gather you, and you'll softly land on the ground. A miraculous sign. Imagine somebody jumping from the top of the Empire State Building, and all these angels suddenly come and he just gently lands. And Satan was tempting Jesus with, here's a way you can give a sign that you're not a normal human. Jesus told Satan to get away from him. But here the Pharisees are asking for that kind of sign. And they had already seen all the signs. Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus at night. In the Gospel of John, we see the account there. And Nicodemus, the Pharisee, says, we know that no one could do the things that you're doing, these miraculous signs, if God were not with him. They were aware of the signs. But it became clear that the Pharisees didn't want to acknowledge the signs, even though they saw that many people were believing the signs, and they even said, it's better that we kill this guy. If we don't, then all the people will follow him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 16, it tells us that the Pharisees had come to Jesus to test him. And they're rather hypocritical in what they say. They call him teacher. Now, they were the ones that wanted the position of teacher. They're not going to listen to what Jesus says. They're not going to be students of Jesus. They're being hypocritical and sarcastic in their comments when they call Jesus teacher. Teacher? Not really believing it. And Jesus said, it's an evil and adulterous generation that looks for that kind of sign. And I'm only going to give you the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the well, or the big fish, or the sea creature, 3 days and three nights, that's going to be your sign. And the Pharisees understood that Jesus was talking about he'd be raised from the dead. Because when Jesus was crucified, the Pharisees and the other religious leaders went to the Roman governor and asked permission to guard or have the tomb guarded, because they said, this guy said he's going to rise from the dead after 3 days. Excuse me. Now I can breathe a little bit better. And they put a guard on the tomb. The guards saw the angels come and roll away the stone, and the tomb was empty. And the religious leaders, even though they had that sign also, bribed the guards to say that they were sleeping on duty, but they saw what happened while they were asleep. Somebody come and stole the body while they were sleeping on duty. Well, Jesus said, back to our passage in Matthew, that the people of Nineveh, whom Jonah preached to, repented at the preaching of Jonah. They're going to be there when you Pharisees and the other people that are hearing me talk, this evil generation that's looking for a sign, is judged. And they will say, we repented at the preaching of Jonah. But you didn't, at the preaching of God himself. The Queen of Sheba, called the Queen of the South, from northern Africa, or some have said it's the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. There have been evidences under the desert sand of what was once a agricultural area where many spices were grown. Well, the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and she even said, and it's described in 1 Kings chapter 10, that the wisdom that Solomon had, she understood came from God, and she gave glory to God. And Jesus, back in our passage in Matthew 12, is telling this people that are looking to test Jesus, the Queen of Sheba will be at your judgment day, because she came to hear the wisdom that Solomon had from God, and something greater than Solomon is here. And then Jesus comes into our passage that we see today. It says, when an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but doesn't find any. Now, we know the demons, they are very long-lived, immortal, if you will, and they don't need food and water, but they like to inhabit people because they can cause a lot of trouble when they inhabit people. Now, if they inhabited an inanimate object like this gavel, they couldn't have as much influence. But when they inhabit people, they can cause people to say all kind of things, direct them to believe all kind of things, and cause a lot of trouble. We see that in our world today. People promoting all kind of evil things that don't come from the Word of God, don't come from the one that made us, but all kind of evil that come from evil intended demons and people that succumb to their influence. Then it says, verse 44, then it says, I'll go back to my house that I came from. Returning to that house, it finds it vacant, swept, and put in order. Now, the key here is the house is empty. It's been all cleaned up, but it's empty. It's talking about what Jesus had done when he cast the demons out. The house became empty. It wasn't filled with something else. Now, when someone becomes a Christian, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, turn me there, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, we see that God's Spirit dwells with us and in us. Look at Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 8. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. If you are a Christian, you're not a vacant vessel. But Jesus healed and cast out demons during his ministry here on earth. But unless they accepted him as their Savior, repenting of their sins, they were just empty vessels, and the demon can come back in. Jesus is also talking about the Pharisees. They had tried to replace God's plan of sanctification with their own. Our world is in a bad situation because people are trying to promote a morality without the author of morals. There's a movie that came out a few years ago called The Time Changer. And part of the premise of that is a professor wants to make the gospel more acceptable to people. And so he's going to talk about morals, but not mention Jesus Christ. Well, he has another friend that's a professor that has a time machine. Now, this is set in 1890. And the professor with the time machine sends him ahead to about the year 1990. And he sees what life in our world is like when you try to have morals without Jesus Christ. So I recommend that movie, The Time Changer. It's a good movie if you want to see it. I don't know. If you can't find it, let me know. I've got a VHS and a DVD of it. But he learns the truth that you can't have morals without the one that determines morals, because we end up with a society that has redefined what is right and what is wrong. Just this past week, a soccer player in her last game injured her Achilles tendon. Said, and this soccer player has been promoting all kinds of things that God does not approve of. And she said, this just proves there's no God. Think about the arrogance of that. God is supposed to be there waiting to keep her from injury when she's been flaunting God's rules. But I did hear some good news. There's a rookie NFL quarterback that is giving credit to God when he wins and when he loses. And he says, if I'm not going to play football, I'll still be telling people about Jesus. But God's given me an opportunity through football to tell people about Jesus. And we happen to have that quarterback just down the road in Houston, leading the Texans team. Well, We have two different things, two different mindsets. One is a mindset that is empty of God, and the other is a mindset that is filled with God. If God is not dwelling in the individual, that individual is open to having other spirits dwell in them. But demons don't dwell in everybody. People are evil enough on their own. Look with me for a moment at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse 9. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? But look at verse 10. I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. God understands our hearts, but our hearts are deceitful. David even says that even from birth, I was evil. We know that. You don't have to teach a child to do evil things. You don't have to teach them to lie, to steal, to treat others poorly. Quite interesting. Got some students I interact with periodically. One of them is always interesting. They will take something from someone else and they say, I didn't take anything, and they'll still have it in their hand. I didn't do anything wrong. Then why do you have the other child's item? It even has the other child's name on it still. Why is it in your hand? I didn't do it. Somebody else put it there. Now we chuckle at that, but we basically do the same thing. We just use more adult-sounding arguments. We don't accept the blame for what we do. The heart is deceitful and beyond cure, but God is the one that can cure it. We can't cure it on our own. You're not going to find morality without the God that created us defining what is right and what is wrong. It's our choice. But I will tell you, you're not going to stand before man on judgment day. You're going to stand before God. What are you going to tell him? You can stay seated for our closing prayer because we're going to have a business meeting right after. So let's close in prayer. Dear God, I pray that we are prepared to face you, understanding that there is nothing we could do on our own to earn your forgiveness. But you are the one that has forgiven us of all things, if we will but repent of our sins and accept that forgiveness. We cannot create a righteousness that pleases you. We can only embrace the righteousness that you give and you define. Let us share that truth with others. In Jesus' name, amen.